September 20th, 1989. Bo Cockrell interviewed by Kay Briegel at his office in Signal Hill, California.
It's a very unusual situation where one city is completely surrounded by another city. And the only reason for that was that they discovered oil on the strip that was in the county, which was Signal Hill at that time. And there's only 1,400 acres in the whole city of Signal Hill. And after they discovered oil, why the oil men was capable of getting permission to incorporate it as a city. And I think probably as far as the land and everything had been concerned, that it would have developed and then more of what they'd like for it to be today if they never had the oil. I think the oil men was good for Signal Hill because they helped get the fire department and the police department and made an operating city out of it for their oil people. But when conditions changed where they didn't have the big amount of oil and it started to decline, then they had to begin to do something else. And another thing to find on Signal Hill, I don't know of another city that has as few people on the council that runs as they are in Signal Hill. We only have 5 council. It made it very simple, very easy for the oil people to control what was going on in the city by then. And now that the conversion is the other way, the oil people didn't have the reason and the incentive, and the council drifted over to the changeover, the conversion, and it's been a rough, tough job. I have a lot of respect for the council that we have at the present time because they didn't have, don't have the benefit of the wealth that came with the oil. And the main part of the things that went with the oil has gone away. We don't have it. The city lost the sales tax income from the warehouses and the sales places for it, and it's been a rough transition for them. And naturally, they've leaned over to the people that do the voting now, which before, the only voting they had was employees of the oil people were able to employ that lived within the city. And now you've got a lot more housing, better housing, and people that are a little more demanding. And in the oil industry, we sometimes deal with councils talking on our feet. But that isn't true. I have to say that we don't always like a lot of the rules and laws they're making. But when you look the whole thing in the face, they're still very considerate. But we don't have an oil council anymore. It's been a very, very difficult situation. The lack of benefit from the oil, the city has had to go to other means, like the price fund. Now that caused a lot of controversy, but it has been financial for help to the city's problems. We're working now on a carve-out. A lot of people have bought and opposed it, and I sometimes wonder how successful it will be, because it's going to cost them. But the council they're looking at the revenue they're going to get from the service. And you can't blame the other problem with oil. When you go by, you don't see the damage that has come from the oil. I can show you a couple of places right out here where it has decreased the value of the crop because of what you have to do to make it built. I assume you have all the information on when they discovered oil, who discovered it, and all that. The first well they drilled, where they drilled a shell, and the 3 months drilling, the well came in for 590 barrels a day, and we produced on signal a little more than 9 million barrels of oil. Today, if I look at the higher estimate of what the production is, but I would say probably down to 4,000 or 5,000 barrels a day. When you realize that the amount of oil has been produced, we think the big thing that's don't show up as far as value to service is 90% of the people that reap the benefit of oil did not live on Signal Hill. They lived in the oil fields. The other places, the other areas of Long Beach, in fact, there wasn't. Well, there was one big home that was one of the last ones that clear up on top of the hill. People that built that, there was a nice home up there. It was later turned into a lab, and now it's completely gone. And at one time, we had 5 refiners, small ones to large ones. And by 1960, the production of Signal Hill, except the one for the holiday, had all vanished. The buyer, Hancock, had put the ends of that refinery and set up. Cleanup of that fire, that refinery setup, was not really too great. It's not like an oil well that's drilled a hole down into the ground and had contamination all the way around. The tank farm itself was kept the oil within the tank farm. It didn't plow the contamination outside of it. That fire lasted week. And the city of Long Beach and the county was in the country. That refinery never survived after that fire. It was completely done. And then we have the Century refinery. It was very close to it. It, because of the lack of oil, the purchase. Now that's Saul Alexander. He was quite active senator. And that eventually went out and was developed into an industrial park property. Miller continued to operate. They went out because of financial difficulties. That is still a lot of litigation. The city doesn't want that to reopen. assets. All of them. Tied up in litigation. What will eventually happen? I was born in Kansas City, Missouri, 1906, and I was associated in the security market. And in 1929, when they had the crash, the people that I was associated with in the market decided we were going to buy a different venture. So we came up on the same level. But we were quite a bit lucky. It was the first activity we had here in 1929. Close to 29 to Atlanta. We were successful at the first level of the rail. And then we went up on 29 in California and got into what we later discovered was a fault. We didn't know that it was a fault at that time. And we were trying to think, well, so it slowed us down for quite a little while. Well, now that's a question that my first employer asked me. My grandparents lived in Oklahoma, and I went to Oklahoma first. And I didn't like the results of being on the farm. If it rained enough that you had a crop, everybody else here, what you had to sell, you didn't get enough corn. And if it was a drought, nobody else had a crop, you didn't need it. So it didn't impress me too much. And I was married in Oklahoma, and I went back to Kansas City. I had a grandmother who was a missionary there, and I wasn't able to find type of work that was satisfying, so I came back to California. My folks had been in California before, and I came back to California. I did go to school in San Diego for a couple of years, but my father was a head printer for, he was called a pressman. A lot of people call it a pressman, but he was a head printer, and worked for Sears and Roebuck. And we first lived in St. Gil, Missouri. Started school there, and then we went to Austin, Texas, and then we went from there to Philadelphia, Philadelphia back to Chicago, and I went to school in Chicago, and then I was separated, I went back to the farm in Oklahoma, and I didn't like it there, and my mother came to California, and I came to California too, and in 1917. I went to school in San Diego, and then my folks owned the property in Oklahoma. They went back to the property. Thank you, yeah. I went back to the property. I wasn't able to get before. So I was married then, and I said I went back to Kansas City, and I knew I could make a living in California. I had an uncle that farmed what now Palo Verde Hills. And they farmed that with him barley. And I went to work with him. In the words you asked how I came to California, the gentleman that interviewed me when I went to work for Edison Company, he asked me how I got out here. And he said, by train. He said, you didn't hitchhike or you didn't Chevrolet your way out here? I said, no, sir. Well, he said, I'm going to give you a job. And I worked for them until I got the school in the stock market. We had a subdivision up in Compton, right across the street from where the Cyrano store was. The people that I was from the security market with later was the ones that we went in together with up there. We subdivided 30 acres of land. And we sold those lots at that time as $25, $26, $1,500 a piece. You sell them just like hotcakes. Well, the real estate depression hit. And it hit before the other thing started slowing down. But it was the first thing that started slowing down. We wound up with a number of the lots that we had sold. And I want to tell you, that hurts, because you had taxes to pay off. Nothing coming in. And before those things got better, we still had some of those lots when the depression was over and it started getting better. And we sold a lot of them for $100 to $150. But before, we were selling them for $1,500. That was a long time before we ever completely got rid of all the property that we had. And I lost my feeling, truthfully, and I was pretty curious. I had security, but no bread and butter to take on those lots. It was taking it all. And I've never really been firm buyer over time. We do. I'll tell you, we don't, but we do have substantial properties. We own traffic circuit that we have three wells on. And most of the property that we've had that I bought is where we've had oil in it with them. But to buy them for an overtime, I never did. Whenever I bought a piece of property, or if you leased the land and drilled a well, and it was a good well, then I'd try to buy the property. And in most cases, we were pretty successful in doing that. But I never give up what I call my first luck, and that's the security market. That's been good. Alexander asked me, what do you give credit for your success? And I said, well, I had an economical wife, and I worked. I said, now tell me what yours was. He said, well, I was told when I was a young man, don't think you're going to get rich working your money. He said, you've got to make your you. And I really, when I look back, I can see that that wasn't too bad.
So you have your
real estate
property.
Yes, go ahead. Well, I was, went into the stock market. Yeah, I was at that time, yeah. And Edison was very good to me. I had a good job. I had outside telephone. And if I would have had to stay and work for a company, I couldn't ask for better. And I had a good job. I was in charge of I was in steam generation. I was in the department that generated the steam and operated the plants. And I had worked in all three of their plants. I had one in Redondo, where I had, we called two in Longview. One was what's called the old plant and the new plant. And I just got a letter from them the other day. They're tearing down one of the plants down. They were wonderful company, isn't it?
Do you
need
a
I was, yes, I want to tell you something. When, before they discovered that there was something wrong, they didn't know what it was to begin with. And there was all kinds of excitement there. What they had started to do, they started to move some tanks from one location on the island to another location. And they went in there to do some surveying to get some bearings on how far they were going to move. Nothing would come together. And when it was just a hush hush thing. They had surveyors all over the place. And finally then they discovered that the island was actually sinking. And they thought to begin with that it was the Navy Yard that they built down there that was not letting the fluid come back into the island portion of it. And the Navy spent a lot of money. In fact, I did a lot of gauging, you know, for them. They drilled some wells to keep checking the water level in the wells. And the Navy then, and the government, finally decided that it was not their fault. They said, we're not spending any more money. But they kept saying it had went down 5 or 6 feet. And they said, well, this will be it. But it didn't stop. It went down. Well, the last I knew, it was down 28 feet. But it didn't go down all over. As you went toward the city downtown, it became less and less and less. And so when you got out to what they called, it was part out there on Broadway and Sheridan. When they got out to there, it had put some siding up there. But as you went back to town, and of course, where the plants were on the island, they were so big, you know, generally and everything. That's where the deepest part of the subsidence from. And then when they finally decided that it was oil that they were taking out was causing this, and they finally got the oil company to put back 2 barrels of water in the ground for each barrel of oil they took out, they began saying it's stopped. And they did finally get it stopped, and then they started telling me that it was all over. And I said, well, I suppose pretty soon it would start coming back up. And it never, but it did put some sidewalks. And we had an earthquake. And I'm not too sure just when that earthquake was, but on the island, the ocean shifted. And it cut a number of the wells off. They couldn't go back and get back into them before they were cut off. And it looked like there were going to be a large number of lawsuits with big companies when this happened. And they even talked about it even on City Hill. But we never had any subsidence here. And that finally went away, but they had a lot of people awfully scared that had wells down there because they were damaging the country. And down close to the ocean, a lot of that property in high tides would get underwater. It was quite a problem.
You never had any?
No. I'm still implicated in some returns that had nothing to do with the drilling or the activity of the property we own. It was what we call the mobile community lease. That harbor situation is a different deal entirely. When they first started out, you had to have a minimum of 2.5 acres to drill a well. And they went in, and everybody that was in a hurry leased and went in with them. Then that left scattered places all around. One man had a lot here, and another man had a lot over here. And he didn't have enough to get in for a community lease. Government finally, the state, finally passed the law that if you could get enough people, they didn't have to be right together, that had as much as an acre, that you could get a level there. But then they were liable, the ones that went into this thing, for the subsidence. Not very attractive. It was quite I'm sure you read some about the subsidence and the different ways that they went about it. Now, like I'm telling you, we had some properties up on 29th Street that was west of the river, and it was leased to Mobile. And then the city condemned, the state condemned that property for, I don't remember how long it was for. They took the surface rights from the property from us, but we kept the minerals. We still get clauses off of the minerals. But we were never bothered in that because they'd already decided that the oil companies were the ones responsible to put the water back in the ground.
Let's talk about Signal Hill. I think that's how did you come to
choose the place to build this area? Well, I wouldn't want to say that I had a whole lot to do with that. There were four of us from the security market, and one of the fellows, a man named Spells, who was the name of the company that we had later, he had had a little more experience. They drilled some wells down in Palm Beach, down along the east side. They've got a name for that area down there. He'd been a little active down in there, not actually in the drilling, but he had got out and helped promote some money for other people that were doing the drilling, so he had a little more knowledge about it. There was quite a bit of activity in this particular area. And we chose this place. We were in Signal Hill. The first lots along Atlantic Avenue, first lots all the way along Atlantic Avenue were in Longview. And you get back that hill into Signal Hill. But we wanted to be in Signal Hill because we had the feeling we had better creek. Oil people in Signal Hill could do just about the food in those things. That was in 29, right after we had the tanks and stuff. He was quite a promoter. It wasn't difficult to get, and you didn't need to have a lot. You could drill a well for 40 or 50,000 dollars. Everybody, when you talk to oil, they were ready to put their money in. You can put corporation commission if you had a decent lot. You felt that you were capable of doing it, you get a permit to sell a certain amount of oil. They made you keep some money. You couldn't just go over. Or if you got into trouble and looked like maybe you were going to have to give up, you might lean over and give the permit sell another 5 or 10%. They didn't like you. They wanted you with what you paid the landowner and what you could retain. They wanted that to be a minimum of 60%. And they held pretty strong. But, as I say, if you got down and you looked like you were running out of money and you might be going to have to walk off, they might give you a permit to sell another 5%. In order to keep it going. But he never had any trouble getting the money. There's always people when you said oil, they listen. But in later years, I didn't what we did, we had our own money. I had one people that did work. We went to him and told him we'd pay him 2-for-1 out of all our people that did work. Yeah. And he said, well, now I'm going to tell you something. He said, I'm not in the production business. He said, now, if you don't